This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
And welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Just listen to the Patriots fall to the Tampa Bay Bucs in their third preseason game, 30-28. That drops the Pats record to 1-2, which we know not to put a ton of stock into. But typically, the third preseason game out of the four is the one we put the most stock into. What'd you think of this Patriots performance tonight? Because to me, it feels a bit like the third preseason game last year. Remember, Patriots took on Detroit. Kevin, maybe it's just because we're back here for a road game during Country Fest, so maybe that's sort of why it feels like the same thing all over again. But if you remember in that one, the Lions just lit up the Patriots offensively. Major fail, being stuck here during Country Fest. And that game last preseason was the first one where, all right, maybe Devin McCourty isn't going to be the same type of Pro Bowler that we saw in his rookie season. And maybe there are some questions about the offense, or maybe we had a few questions about the offense. Turned out those were off base, but tonight, continuation of that same narrative with the Patriots offense. The first team struggled, and the O-line continues to be a disaster. Now, the Patriots found themselves down huge in this game. You know, at one point, 30-14, and they got their way back into it late, thanks in large part to Ryan Mallett. So we'll work our way through all this stuff. I thought there was some good stuff in this one. We saw Jeff Demps for the first time. What'd you think of him? These are all things we'll talk about here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Here's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get in touch. And as always, we'll be looking to hear from a member of the New England Patriots following this 30-28 loss in Tampa Bay. You'll hear from head coach Bill Belichick from the podium and also Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at some point, probably about an hour, here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. And as we do, to kick off each and every postgame show, we go through the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Gotta tell you, despite the extended run, this one was a bit more tricky than the first two preseason games, at least for me. At the top of my list, and I thought this one was clear, Stephen Ridley. Thought he ran hard, thought he ran well. 16 carries, 87 yards. Got a touchdown from in close, and also had that long 29-yarder. He broke things to the outside quite a bit, and I thought he looked pretty good getting around the corner. You saw that extra acceleration that maybe you wouldn't see out of a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis or some other previous Patriots running backs. It wasn't all good for Ridley. He got stuffed up on a 4th-and-1 in the second quarter, but by and large, I thought he was the team's best player tonight. Dante Hightower, rookie linebacker, also on my good list. And I thought this one flew under the radar a bit. Remember, I was critical of him after the first preseason game, but I thought he forced a run inside on that second drive, holding Doug Martin to a 1-yard carry. Thought he had a good run fit on the third drive, limiting Martin to 2 yards. So I thought it was a good night for Dante Hightower, especially against the running game. And finally, the last guy on my good list, Ryan Mallett. Couple of touchdown drives in 2 drives for him. 7-13, 66 yards. And I thought that last touchdown to Jesse Holly was impressive. Ryan Mallett keeps the drive alive, or keeps the play alive, rather, with his feet, looks downfield, surveys in the end zone, and finds Holly in the back of the end zone. I thought he played well. And I would read into the fact that now for the second straight week, he's playing over Brian Hoyer. Started last week against the Eagles and was in this game, and we didn't see a snap out of Brian Hoyer. So that's my good list tonight. On the bad, more of the same from the offensive line. Two sacks tonight. I'm surprised that number wasn't higher. And again, we see Brady get pummeled and stripped by the right side of that line. Marcus Cannon and Spencer Larson got Brady nearly decapitated. And fortunately, Spencer Larson fell back on top of the football. Patriots retained possession. They threw a pick on the next play. There was also a jailbreak screen pass where no one blocked anyone. And it was a free-for-all on Brady. That was the second drive of the second half, and I thought Brady's night was done there. He came back out and led a touchdown drive after that. And the aforementioned fourth down play where Ridley got stacked up. It's the offensive line not doing their job. So that narrative continues with the Patriots. You can weigh in on them. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Thought the first team offense in general struggled for the Patriots tonight. They were also on my bad list. 10 drives, couple of touchdowns, but one came late in the third quarter against a bunch of backups. They had three and outs, a four and out, which is the Ridley play again, getting stacked up, and a turnover on Brady's pick. So I thought the first team offense, 7 points midway through the third, it's not enough. I also thought the opening defensive intensity from the Patriots was poor, and I was really looking at that first team defense, which I think on balance played okay tonight. But the first drive, 7 plays, 67 yards, march it right down your throat. Exclamation point is a 1 yard touchdown run for Doug Martin. Josh Freeman, 3 of 3 on the drive. All those passes went to Vincent Jackson. Now, those were all his catches on the night, but I thought the Patriots dug themselves in an early hole. It's not what you're looking for defensively from the Patriots right out of the gate. And on the injured front, not a good night for the Pats. Shane Vereen left with what was called a foot injury, did not look good. So we'll see if the running back core is a bit thinner. Spencer Larson left with a knee injury, which I believe he hurt on the play where he recovered the fumble. But again, he was part of the problem on getting Brady sacked on that play, along with Marcus Cannon. And then finally, Steve Gregory was also on the injured list. He left the game with what looked like maybe a Charlie horse or some type of calf injury. That didn't seem as serious as the other two. But that's the good, the bad, and the injured here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You want to get in touch? Give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick probably in about 20-plus minutes here on the program. And you should hear from Tom Brady right around midnight Eastern time following the Patriots' 30-28 preseason loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're now 1-2. Wouldn't read a ton into the preseason record. But again, this is your third preseason game. You know, this is the one we're supposed to put stock into. So what'd you think out of the Patriots? Specifically, the offensive line. Like, I'm one of these guys who has come in after each of the last two games, and I pointed out the flaws, but I've been consistent in saying, I think they'll get this thing straightened out. And deep down, I still think they will. But when you see Marcus Cannon continuing to struggle out there, that's tough to watch. That is tough to watch. I don't think he's ultimately going to be your right tackle when things roll around. We all expect that to be Vollmer, who was dressed tonight. But more of the same narrative for the Patriots on that front. So that's something we'll get to. And I thought there were struggles from the first team offense in general tonight against a team that I think is somewhat of a bounce back candidate in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were 10-6 2 years ago, had a rough season last year, new coach. And we'll see if the Buccaneers can turn things around. They pull out a 30-28 win over the Patriots tonight in the third preseason game. We'll get to your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Joining us now from the Patriots locker room, Pro Bowler last season, Matthew Slater. First of all, Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing excellent, Matthew. Now, take us back here through these last couple of days, the joint practices down in Tampa Bay. How'd they prepare you for the conditions and the opponent here tonight?
Well, I think it was a good experience for this football team. It's only something that's going to make us better. You know, we got to do a lot of situational football with Tampa, which I thought is going to help our football team. going into the stretch of the season. So it was a good experience for us. I think the whole week is just going to make us better as a team.
Matthew, one of the guys we were all curious to see, we were talking about it on the pregame show. I know a lot of Patriots fans were curious to see him too. Jeff Demps, we got to see him out there on both kickoffs and punts, also a little bit of offense. What have you seen from him thus far?
Oh, the kid is a tremendous talent. I mean, he has speed like you've never seen before, and it's fun to see him out there. And he's sitting in well with the guys, and we're just happy to have him. And he's doing everything he can to work hard and just contribute and pick up things. So he's fun to have on this team, no doubt.
Did you ever try to race him?
No, I had tried to race him. I think we might know what the outcome of that would be, but he's a tremendous talent, and he has a tremendous gift in being able to run like he does.
He's Patriots Pro Bowler Matthew Slater joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post game show. Matthew, first trip to the Pro Bowl last season, and also looked at as a leader, especially from the special teams on this Patriots team. What have you been told by the coaching staff about your leadership role this year?
Well, I'm just trying to come out and do more of the same what I did last year. It's a new year. They're new guys, and I have to come out and try to lead by example, and that starts with what I do on the football field, and then that goes into what I do off the football field. So my approach is the same. I'm not expecting anything. I don't want anything to be given to me. I want to go out here and earn my respect of my teammates and continue to start to play at a high level.
What do you consider yourself? Because that's one of the things, that we always hear from callers. Are you a running back? Are you safety? What would you consider yourself?
I'm a football player. whatever they're going to ask me to do, I'm going to go out there and try to do it. It's just like a young kid out there. You play all the positions in little peewee football, and I kind of feel like that here. And so I just describe myself as a football player. Whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability.
Finally, Matthew, you weren't the only UCLA Bruin standing out on the football field tonight. Their former kicker, Forbath, had a couple of 50-yarders. You have some UCLA pride watching him out there?
Yeah, he did a good job. Unfortunately, he was making those kicks against us, but he did a good job. Ty was very consistent when I played with him in college, and he has a great leg, and he's a real good kid, good teammate. So, I wish he wouldn't have been against us, but he did do a good job tonight.
All right, he is Patriots Pro Bowler Matthew Slater joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post game show. Matthew, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this season.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Matthew Slater joining us here on the postgame show. Said, is he a running back or a safety? Met wide receiver, of course. And I like the answer. I'm a football player. I'll do whatever they ask me to do out there. And I think he's someone who a lot of Patriots fans respect because of that. Honestly, the special teams is interesting. And before we get to some of these phone calls, 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Did at least want to touch on Jeff Demps. Because for me, his night took a 180, and maybe that's after he started facing some of the backups, second and third stringers on Tampa Bay. But initially, I had Jeff Demps as sort of a head-scratching night, right? Like, he didn't have a great first kickoff return. It was the third drive of the second half for the Pats, 16 yards, took it out from halfway into the end zone. You're kind of scratching your head and going, well, what's all the fuss about? Then Demps, on that same drive, lined up as a running back, got called for a false start. Looked like he was hesitating, and Brady was ticked. I don't know why, at the official, he was ticked. But we saw a little bit of Jeff Demps offensively initially struggle, but then you see him later on in the game, again, maybe against twos and threes, had a 29-yard carry. We also saw him back there on punt returns, which I didn't expect we were going to see. Now, there was a holding penalty or an illegal block on the punt, so it was negated. But you're still talking about him being back there fielding punts, which I think is promising, even if you didn't get the desired result, a big return, because it was negated. But I thought it was an interesting night, the first time we got to see Jeff Demps, and you just heard from Patriots Pro Bowler Matthew Slater. Don't want to race that guy. He's got speed that he's never seen before. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's kick things off with Melvin in Tennessee. What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing excellent, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just got through watching the game, and well, of course, I think you've hit on the high points. You know, I thought really had an impressive night, and I thought for some odd reason that the offensive line, I thought that they got a little bit better as the night went ahead. But you know, I just think that that's something they're going to have to. I don't know if we need to bring in some more tackles, or because I don't know if we can depend on Bowman to, you know, stay healthy throughout the season. But you know, if we take away our strength, which is passing, you know, all the additions of wide receiver and stuff like that really won't matter when Brady's getting sacked and has to hurry and, you know, having to throw picks because he's feeling pressure. So I just think that they will get that problem straight. You know, I just think that I don't know if it's personnel or what's the problem, but, you know, it is the third preseason game, like you said, so we need to get a straight fix. I mean, you need to get it fixed pretty fast, you know?
No, absolutely. And Melvin, I appreciate the phone call. You said you have some concerns on the offensive line. I think most Patriots fans would feel that way. What'd you think of Mallett's performance, though? Not just in this one, but also last week against the Eagles.
Well, Mallett seems like he's I wouldn't say it's coming along. I would say it's coming along. I think it's better than what I've been hearing, I guess, from everybody on the PFW side of the ballpark. But, you know, I think he was impressive. That last touchdown was impressive. You know, he was supposed to be the future. I like the poise standing in the. It seems like he doesn't get rattled even when pressure's coming a little bit. He stood in the pocket quite well and made a pretty nice throw, I think, to Stallworth.
He did on the fourth down. It was the one right along the sidelines. And Melvin, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I think he hits the nail right on the head. Maybe he doesn't seem poised all the time back there because he certainly didn't in the first preseason game against New Orleans. But these last 2 weeks, that's exactly what I thought. I spent a lot of time harping on Mallett last week on his touchdown throw to Silvestro. You know, I thought he was very patient, stepped up in the pocket. That's sort of what I'm looking for out of Mallett. Is he comfortable back there? Is he poised? Because that's what we didn't see last preseason. That's what we didn't see in the first preseason game this year against the New Orleans Saints. But the last 2 weeks, I think we've seen more of it. And look, he wasn't perfect. He was only 7-13. There was one throw that just completely sailed right down the middle of the field. And I didn't mark it down in my notes. I should have. But it was on that last drive, which ultimately ended in a Holly touchdown, just right down the middle of the field. Missed everyone. He's had some misfires. But I thought it's looked better the last 2 weeks. And now that we've seen him 2 weeks in a row over Brian Hoyer, I think there's something there. You know, I think there's something to that. And last week I came in and said, well, I don't think Hoyer's job is in jeopardy. I think he's still the backup quarterback on this team. Now, I'm not so sure. You know, now I think it could be a legitimate toss-up. And maybe that fourth preseason game, there will be a lot riding on that thing in terms of who Tom Brady's backup actually is. And you know what? If I'm Belichick, that's how I'd play it. Go out and prove yourself in preseason game number 4. And guess what? It's not even a contest who's looked better so far this preseason. They were both terrible in game 1. I think Mallett's been good the last 2. Hoyer was bad against the Eagles. So Mallett's had the better preseason. I don't think there's much debate there. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Again, the narrative for me, offensive line continues to struggle. And the plays that stuck out for me were Marcus Cannon and Spencer Larson allowing Brady to get strip sacked. Now, Larson recovered it. Brady wound up throwing an interception on the very next play when he just totally locked on to Gronkowski. Awful throw by Brady. It was tipped by Rondé Barber, pulled down by Mark Barron, the kid out of Alabama, returns at 22 yards for a touchdown. That's where you start the game, or start that drive, rather, for the Patriots. That's the second drive of the game. Digs you in a 14-0 hole. That's one play that stood out for the offensive line, the strip sack, which preceded the interception. Also, that jailbreak screen where Brady just didn't have a chance, didn't have a prayer. And on the ground, that 4th-and-1 where Ridley got stacked up. And I thought Ridley ran well tonight. A lot of off-tackle stuff, which we were talking about. I was upstairs watching the game with Andy and Paul and LePan and Collins, and a lot of off-tackle stuff, not a lot of stuff up the gut, which is a noticeable difference from when Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was here. But you know what else was a noticeable difference? How Ridley's able to turn the corner like he did on his 29-yard carry. So I thought it was a nice night out of Ridley tonight. Not so much for the first-team offense. They struggled in general, and I'll go back through it. And look, you can say Brady left on a high note. I'm not worried about the offense, by the way. big picture, no one should be this season. Like, the offense will get it figured out. I think Tom Brady will get things figured out. That's how I feel about it, right? But not a good night for them tonight. You know, they scored on their third and tenth drives. And at least Brady can leave on a high note. He found Gronkowski in the end zone, who doesn't look totally healthy. LePan, Collins, you guys were up there watching. We were all talking about this. And we said before that Gronkowski touchdown, he's kind of hobbling around. Maybe it's an ankle. Maybe it's a calf. Maybe it's just he got dinged up. But he doesn't look fully healthy. So I thought it was nice to see him catch a touchdown pass. But in general, couldn't protect Brady. And I didn't think Brady had his best night. And the interception was right there front and center. That said, not worried about the offense in general, but I don't know how you can't be getting a little worried about the offensive line. I wasn't after week one. I wasn't after week two. I'm still not in panic mode yet because we haven't seen the full thing, especially the right side. And that's where most of your problems have come from. But I'm a little worried about the offensive line, certainly more so than I was the last 2 weeks. Check some of these emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dan writes in. Adam, as bad as our first team offense was, I got to say, I see hopes. One is Mallett. He's just looking better and better. His accuracy can improve. He just needs time to gain confidence and swagger. On the other hand, Hoyer is useless. And I'll jump in. I don't think Hoyer is useless. I was pretty high on Hoyer early in the preseason last year. And look, think back to Matt Cassel in 2008. His worst preseason was probably that year. And he came in and was fine as a starting quarterback. Fine. So I don't think Hoyer is useless. I think that's too strong. But it's not a stretch at all, and I think it's accurate to say that Mallett's had the better preseason. Dan continues to webradio@patriots.com. Second, some of our offensive line subs, they don't understand how to grind. It's very important in a real game situation, and it's vital to win championships. We were talking about this a lot off the air. Real rough night for Donald Thomas. Like, real rough night for him. Completely whiffed on a block. Had a holding penalty. So not a good night for him. And one more thought from Dan here to webradio@patriots.com. Some complaints. I missed the first half. How'd the offensive line not get into the groove again? That worries me. Solder needs some mobility. Too easy to get outside with him, and he often looked confused. I'll say this again. I wasn't crushing Solder after the last game. And I didn't think he was awful in that he stood out like some other people tonight. Now, there are higher hopes for Solder than there are for Cannon. I certainly understand that. But I didn't think Solder was as bad as some of his counterparts. And maybe that's the winner in a slow race. Or, you know, maybe that's just one guy not standing out because Cannon has been so glaringly bad on the right side. I'll grant you that. But I thought Solder stood out in a bad way week one of the preseason. And I thought progressively he stood out less and less. Not saying he was perfect tonight, but I think he stood out less and less. And if you're asking me to bank on whether or not Nate Solder will be someone you can trust on the left side, I'd still bank that way. The right side, I'm nervous about. Until I see Vollmer out there, I'm nervous about the right side. Let's hit some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Brandon in California. He's been waiting patiently. What's going on, Brandon?
Yo, what's going on, Adam?
Not much, man. How are you?
I can't say fine after watching this game, but, you know, my main concern is that offensive line, because we got Brandon Lloyd, and he's a deep route guy. So, like, Brady doesn't even have enough time to even look his way, because, like, he's worrying about the defensive line getting to him. Like, Nate Solder, I don't understand what his problem is. It just seems like he's just too slow because he's so big. Because, like, the linemen just get off on him, and they go either way, go around him. Or just go through them, you know? So, like, I don't know. I thought our defense played real good, though.
You know, I go back and forth on it. And, Brandon, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. If you're asking me to say whether or not the defense was promising tonight, I think they were. And I think, in general, the starters defensively have been promising for the Patriots. That first drive, though, rubbed me the wrong way. You know, Tampa marched it right down your throats. Seven plays, 67 yards. Martin ran hard. Freeman was 3 for 3. Vincent Jackson was catching passes in front of Devin McCourty, and I was like, here we go again. This is just like Detroit last preseason, where this is where you start having some questions about Devin McCourty. Is he the same guy we saw as a rookie? But you know what? After that, they settled down. You know, Mark Barron had the interception return. So those aren't offensive points. That's not on the Patriots' first team defense. And then they had a couple of long field goals, which I don't really feel like is on the Patriots' defense either. I just thought that first drive really rubbed me the wrong way for the Patriots tonight. You want to come out. You want to set the tone. You did it against Drew Brees. You did it against Michael Vick. Hell, you knocked him out of the game. But you can't do it against Josh Freeman. So for me, that sort of rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe it's nitpicky. And look, certainly it's not as bad as the offense in general or the offensive line. That's why when I prioritize things that frustrated me on my bad list, I had it third out of three. But I still thought that first drive, you had a chance to set the tone. You had a chance to not dig your offense in an early hole, and that's what happened. 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch via the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Luke in Connecticut. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Adam. What's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good, I guess. Kind of disappointed, actually. Really worried about the O-line.
Yeah, look, I can't blame you for that. I will question, though. You're disappointed in the result, or you're disappointed in what you saw out of the offense, or just more specific? What are you disappointed about?
Well, the O-line, I just thought that I thought Solder would be better in year two. I just think Cannon's terrible.
So,
I'm just wondering, when is Vollmer, and what do you think is going to happen with Waters? And the other thing I wanted to ask was, do you think that the sort of the performance of the whole offense will improve when they actually have a whole week to prepare? I always thought Brady seems to do better, like, when they're actually preparing, like, in a real situation instead of just preseason stuff. He'll see the defenses better, and he'll sort of know what's happening better.
Brady it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not worried about Tom Brady come the regular season. And, Luke, I appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. You can call back anytime. You know, I'm not concerned about Tom Brady come the regular season, and I don't think most Patriots fans are. And I just wanted to clarify with Luke, because he's the third straight caller who said, oh, I'm disappointed. Not in the result. Like, everyone wants the Patriots to win these games, but I'm happy that he came out and said, well, yeah, not the result, but with the offensive line. Now, I wonder, and he just asked the question with Vollmer, like, when are we going to see him? When are we going to see Vollmer? For me, I don't think we're going to see him in the preseason now. Like, if we didn't see him tonight and he dressed, I doubt. Maybe for a drive or two. Maybe. But I think they're just going to play it easy with him. They're just going to rest him in the preseason. They have a game on Wednesday in New York where the starters are going to get a cameo. So, other than a drive or two, we ain't seeing Vollmer, in the preseason. I think you see him week one. And I wouldn't be surprised if Waters is right there next to him at guard. But I don't know that you're going to see the offensive line fully intact here this preseason. Let's get back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Jake is in Pittsburgh. And you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, okay. I have a question.
Sure.
I heard no one mention this. Why don't we put Vollmer on the left side when he comes back?
I've heard it mentioned, and Jake, I guess here's my feeling on it, and hang on the line, and I'll let you get your thoughts in here on the backside. I just think going away from Solder, this early, maybe you put him in somewhat of a funk, maybe you put him in somewhat of a tailspin, and say Vollmer's back can't hold up, or say Vollmer can't play left tackle. You know, then all of a sudden, you have Solder screwed up, and Vollmer not healthy, and you gotta move Solder back to left tackle, or Vollmer doesn't work and you got to move Solder back to left tackle. To me, that just invites a messy situation. I would go with Solder for at least the first couple of games of the regular season. 2-3 games. If it doesn't work out, then I'd make that switch. I just wouldn't do it in the preseason, Jake.
Okay, because one thing I was looking at, I remember back in 2009, I think Matt Light got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Vollmer came in as a rookie, I think it was in 2009. And he came in and he played pretty well on the left side. And, I mean, Solder played really well on the right side last year, I thought, for the most part. And, I mean, just have more experience on the left side, because that is Tom Brady's backside.
Look, I don't think it's a crazy idea. And, Jake, we appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I just think it reeks of a panic move. I think it was Mike Reese who wrote this earlier this week on ESPNBoston.com. Like, it reeks of a panic move, and the Patriots don't do panic moves. It's not what they do. They drafted Solder to be a left tackle. Theoretically, that's why you draft him 17. If it doesn't work out, you know you can move him back to right tackle. I would give him at least some regular season games. I'd give him a shot. And again, I think he's gotten better progressively throughout the preseason. You know, maybe he ain't Matt Light out there, but you got to let him go through some of these growing pains. And I think progressively it's gotten better from the New Orleans game to the Philadelphia game to tonight. It's not great. It's not perfect. But I do think it's gotten better. I'd continue to trot him out there at left tackle. Right tackle's been a disaster. Like, Cannon cannot be your right tackle. Now, I was much more sold on him before the game started. I thought if your offensive line, you had to trot out Marcus Cannon at right tackle and Vollmer wasn't ready, I thought you could get away with it. There's no chance in hell you can feel that way watching this preseason. You know, I was kind to Marcus Cannon in this one tonight, the good, the bad, and the injured. I just had the whole offensive line on my bad list. Like, it could have been Cannon again for the third straight week. I decided not to do it. He has been a train wreck, and maybe he's playing out of position, and he shouldn't be your starting right tackle. But he's been an abomination at right tackle. I don't feel that way about Solder. That's why I'm not in full-on panic mode about the offensive line, but I can certainly see your concerns. Three games in a row, Brady's back there, you know, running around, or the Patriots quarterbacks, rather, are back there running around like they have no time to throw the football. And there were a couple of times where it was just free releases on Brady. You can't have that preseason or regular season. So I understand your concern. I'm not quite as concerned, I don't think, as some of the people calling in, but continue to get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We've talked an awful lot about the Patriots offensive line here and their 30-28 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers week three of the preseason. What Patriots head coach Bill Belichick think of his offensive line's performance? You'll hear from him next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
they get the Oxford Dictionary app
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll work our way through your phone calls. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Before you hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick,
more importantly,
we welcome in Andy Hart and Paul Perillo back into the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Guys,
we're taking over.
Guys, Patriots fall.
This is like when Hulk Hogan,
our studio,
and NWO took over WCW
like
for the night.
I like it. Now we can officially call it the highly rated Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Now that you guys are here. Patriots fall 30-28 here to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Score aside, what jumped out to you guys?
I don't want to be negative, but since Bill Belichick was very negative in his post-game press conference, I'm going to say the offensive line, the ineptitude of the offense there, and I think that's where it's all starting. You know, we talked about it. I keep going back to even when the Saints practiced, that was when we first noticed it because, oh, the offense looks good. And then the pressure from the Saints in the very first practice they were here made Tom Brady uncomfortable, and the offense has struggled at times since then. That, to me, that's the story coming out of training camp. Whether your sky is falling, whether you're trying to say, like Dante Scarnecchia, support your group, there's growing pains, but we'll be okay. However you interpret it, the offensive line right now, to me, is the story of camp. Everything else gets overshadowed. There's things I could say that are positives on defense. You know, Nate Ebner and guys, you know, Chandler Jones got his first sack, guys flying around, all that stuff. The bottom line is, if you don't protect Brady, none of that other stuff really matters.
And they certainly didn't do that again tonight for the third straight preseason game. You said whether your sky are falling, whether you're more in the Dante Scarnecchia mold where you got to stick up for your guys, where are you guys at in regards to the offensive line right now?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. I mean, I don't see how you can't be. Now, the one caveat remains the same one that we've had since the start of all of this negativity back in, you know, say May or June. Mankins did play tonight, but not very much. Vollmer didn't play, and we still don't know about Brian Waters. But you got to figure Solder is part of this equation. And I don't think that he was up to par tonight. Cannon was again worse, and he doesn't figure to be part of the equation. But offensively, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a blind homer here, but I still look at this as a very, very good offense, and I'm not overly concerned. I mean, tonight was not good. As Bill Belichick said, all we did out there tonight was lose yardage and commit turnovers. And that pretty much sums it up. I mean, they did nothing for three quarters. And the starters were out there against Tampa starters. They did absolutely nothing all night long. My takeaway, though, Andy brought up a couple of individuals defensively. I thought, overall, defensively, they did a pretty good job tonight. I know you look at the 30 points at the end of the day, and I know everybody just says it's about points. It's all about points scored. And you look at it and you say, well, they allowed 23 points. You got the 7 on the pick 6. I don't think they played a game that was commensurate with giving up 23 points tonight. They got three 50-plus yard field goals, of which they came from getting on the field in really bad spots. That wasn't like they were 60-yard drives that led to 50-yard field goals. It was, you know, an 18-yard drive here. They took over on downs once in Patriots territory, didn't allow a first down. I thought the run defense was solid, and I thought the secondary was pretty good. I thought the coverage was pretty tight throughout, and I think that involved a lot of different people. So I think those are positives you can take out of tonight.
Yeah, I thought the defense struggled early. You know, they
first
just
drive they
right
were on
down the field
on their heels, no
right
question.
Down the field, three for three passing.
I was talking about this like
them.
It felt like the Lions game all over again from the preseason last
and
year.
And that was
know?
Brought up in the post game press conference. I think Brady was asked about it. It's a disappointing effort. For as much as they dominated this team last year, this was a disappointed effort. I thought the Bucs came out and kind of took it to them a little bit, kind of like the Patriots did last year. Drive right down the field on offense, get a sack, get some pressure on Brady, turnover on defense, and it's just snowballing. And, you know, the ones versus ones portion of this game wasn't really close. It was
the thing that was eye-opening to me was how much Tampa dominated the line of scrimmage. I thought especially their defensive line, which isn't a great defensive line. They have some guys that are highly touted, but really haven't done much.
Well, and it's not
as
just
pros.
Not just pressuring Brady, which
no,
they did.
I thought
it was the fourth and one where they stacked up Ridley and they stacked up Catani on the play.
And I lost
before.
Track now of the exact numbers, but they had an 8-yard pass on the first play of the game. So they had second and two, nothing. Third and one, nothing. Punt. The next, I believe, the next possession, or maybe two possessions later, it was second and one, nothing. Third and one, nothing. Fourth and one, nothing. They had no fewer than five short yardage runs in the first half that were unsuccessful. That's the other teams dominating the line of scrimmage.
And that included Gerald McCoy leaving the game.
Correct.
So even one of their stars, high pick there, wasn't a part of that. So it was a disappointing effort, but I thought individually, and we talked about it earlier, guys that you know needed to do something or make some plays or help themselves, I thought Marquise Cole looked pretty good in the slot. Was around his receiver all the time. He made a couple breaks on balls, got his hands on some balls, some near interceptions. And so I thought that was a positive. My guy Ebner continues to impress with his tackling ability.
Eber, as Don Crickey
likes to call him. I'll go Eber.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's moving up the depth chart. Stephen Gregory looks like he had a
Patriots
scare.
On defense, Thomas, Bruschi, and Colvin.
had a little bit of a scare with probably, you know, a Charlie horse type, you hope. But, I mean, the depth at safety is already being tested, and Ebner looks like he's going to be in the mix there. I mentioned Chandler Jones earlier, getting to the quarterback a little bit. So, you know, there was some, even Dan Copen, I thought they settled down a little bit when he came in the game, maybe him making a last-ditch effort to win a roster spot. And by the way, we just had a tweet come across the board from Mike Giardi at Comcast Sportsnet. Nick McDonald appears to have left the game with a shoulder banged up. So depth on the interior offensive line, those are guys battling for those roles. There were some positives. There were some things individually, and Jeff Demps, I thought, looked electric. I thought he looked as advertised. We talked maybe they'd throw him out there. They did. Kickoffs, punt returns, and on offense, and I thought he flashed on all three with the speed that you'd expect. And, you know, it wasn't perfect. You know, he let up on that one outside run, which for a guy who's 5'7", 180 pounds, soaking wet, is a big-time no-no. And but I thought there were individual positives you could pick from.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that we talked about, you know, maybe the way Ivan Fears talked during the week about, you know, we're not going to baby him. We're going to throw him out there and see where we are. And I think that's what Belichick looked at. What, you know, we saw him back not just on a kick but on a punt. We saw him get wheel routes thrown his way, screen passes, inside handoffs on draws, the sweep that Andy alluded to. He had one miscue where he, you know, clearly jumped offside. Had a false start where he tried to go in motion, you know, to, you know, kind of fake it. But overall, I thought you saw the kind of explosiveness that, as Andy said, came as advertised.
Oh,
I,
and
I
Mallet.
Thought he was impressive.
I would add Mallet to my list over the last,
I think,
you know,
Mallet
5 days. He's taken. I was
I
the guy
really
that
come on.
Wrote him off and said he's Jamarcus Russell and Rohan Davey. So ever since I said that, which is typical Andy, I think he's made some nice gains
so
here.
So let's stick with Ryan Mallet here for a second. Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. What's the takeaway from Mallet playing over Hoyer each of these last two games?
Oh, I don't necessarily take away anything from that. I'm talking about his individual performance. I think he has looked pretty good. I think he showed the ability for the last 2 weeks of moving in the pocket, stepping up even tonight. He avoided the sack. and made, you know, I joked about it while we were watching it, a throw that, you know, you throw a pick and it's, oh, you just can't do that in the NFL. But he throws back, you know, rolling left, throws back across the field a little bit, which also shows his arm, by the way. It's not a throw that everybody can make, and you know, gets it to Holly for the touchdown. I thought, you know, he did some nice things out there. And even some of the incompletions, you know, he threw a bullet over the middle to Stallworth, I think it was, that deflected off to one of his hands. I thought it was a pretty good throw. A huge step up. I can't even believe he's the same quarterback that looked so bad against the Saints, where balls were just flying all over the field like he didn't know where it was going.
Yeah, and the throws across the body, just to you know how hard that throw is to make. Watching a preseason game last night, I think Kevin Cobb had one that was kind of similar. He was rolling to his right and tried to throw back across, an easy pick for Tennessee. And you saw Mallett do it tonight. Not only that he, you know, the throw was difficult, but to avoid that rush right there, you know, he kind of squirted out of a would-be sack, kept his composure, and kept
pressure,
his eyes.
Hard to believe.
kept his eyes downfield and found a guy. And, yeah, I agree with Andy. If you would, you know, come away from that New Orleans game in the first preseason game, you really wouldn't have had much faith that he could come back the way he has. But I really do think that he started to show some signs in practice. Andy was kind of chiding me about that. He's got a long way to go. I'm not saying he's a finished product, but it will be interesting to see what happens next Wednesday. Because if he gets the call before Hoyer again, it's going to be hard for me. In the post game, I thought it was sort of telling that Bill had said, you know, no decisions have been made when asked specifically about Mallett and Hoyer. Andy kind of wrote it off as being, well, that's the way Bill would answer that question. Andy's probably right. I think Bill probably looks at it as,
why don't you save that, you know, in case we need that for later, you know, soundbite.
But I reserve the right to change my mind depending on what I see on Wednesday, because I think if Mallett plays before Hoyer again, or with any more significant pieces around him, and Hoyer doesn't, I think that might tell you something about how he's thinking.
Could be. And he also has to, you know, we always talk about the short and long term. He knows Mallett's going to be here. He knows Brian Hoyer is probably not going to be here. So if it's close, if he can get Mallett more developmental reps and it's close, you go with Mallett, in my opinion. And we talked about it.
Sure.
Outside chance that they keep two quarterbacks and they move on. I mean, I'd be mildly surprised if we read Brian Hoyer's name on a cut list, but I wouldn't be shocked at this point, because we're talking about all these other positions where you want to keep three
or
four
tight
ends, seven
receivers, five running backs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And Bill goes, it's pretty close. You know, Hoyer's going to be gone a year anyway. Maybe you just go with one. I don't know. I want backup.
Be interesting.
Set the phone calls here. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Ryan's up in New Hampshire, and you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
So I just wanted to talk about Jeff Demps. You know, I saw a little bit of him tonight, and he looked really, really well from what I saw. A lot of explosiveness there, and I was wondering if you guys thought if he'd be in the mix at running back, or do you think Bill's going to keep him at strictly a kick and punt return for now?
No, I think he'll be in the mix at running back as it moves along. As a situational guy, you know, a 5 to 7 plays a game, maybe even less type guy. But I think you saw that his speed is not misadvertised, false advertising. He, on that run where he let up and took the big hit, he got the corner quickly. I mean, there was a defensive end with some penetration. He got around him with ease. So he has the ability to be electric if you can get him in space. And the way this team uses personnel, has different personnel groupings, has certain plays, I certainly think he could be in the mix. But you have to remember, he's been away from football for a while. He's raw, and part of that is going to be protecting Brady, blitz pickup, all those things that they're going to have to make sure he's up to speed with before he can display his speed on the
field.
Yeah,
I think it'll take a while, but I do think you'll see it. I just don't think it'll happen right away with the running back duties, the third down stuff. You saw a lot of it tonight, but it was preseason. I think it's going to take him a while to get the confidence for Belichick to put him out there in
and
a
I think
game.
Just how from we were talking about it before the game, the most promising thing is they stuck him back there on punts. Like, okay, maybe he's more versatile than just a kickoff guy. So I thought that was promising, at least to see him back there on a punt return. I know it got negated by a hold or an illegal block or whatever it was, but still, the fact that he's back there and doing that, even if they're just rolling him out there, I think is promising.
I think Bill wanted to see a baseline. What do I have
what
here?
Can he do?
What are the things that I can ask him to do? I put him out in a punt return. He looks like he never returned a punt before. Okay, I can't do that. Well, no. He put him back there. He caught the ball, and he showed a nice burst. As Andy said, the speed is as advertised. He's lightning fast. So I think Bill just wants to see how many different things can I ask this guy to do, and then let's whittle down later the things that we think he does best and they might be able to do right away to help us.
It's unfortunate that it's so late in the process, though, because I feel like there's other moves, Woodhead, Edelman, other people who, had he been here all along, you might be saying, Danny Woodhead might be out of a job, or Julian Edelman might be out of a job.
Save even two roster spots somewhere else.
And
who knows?
But I don't think you're going to see enough tonight and next week and in a week of practice to really let go of guys that have proven to you that they can do certain things.
He's exciting, though. It's what we talked about in the pregame, and it took us a little while to get it. It was probably not till the second half, right? I don't think he played at all in the first half, but it was exciting.
Well, that was my mallet thing.
It was exciting.
They put him out there. Oh, no, he was out there with Brady
for a minute. He was definitely out there with Brady.
But even on the kicks, we didn't get to see until the second half.
Let's work our way through some of these emails here. Webradio
at
Patriots.com. I've been told from the pregame show that I need to read all of James's emails here, so he writes in. Guys, what do you think of tonight's performance and how it will affect playing time in the last preseason game?
For who?
I don't think it'll affect playing time.
Oh, everybody?
For starters?
No.
Like,
I think it's
going to
be treated as normal. I don't think it's going to
change.
I think
you may see the starters for a cameo Wednesday night, and then again, you might not. I don't think
they're going to play. Like, I mean, I saw somebody talking you could have extended playing time.
Yeah,
I don't think
that Bill doles out his playing time based on performance in the preseason. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think that, in other words, if they came out tonight and scored three touchdowns in the first three drives, I still think they would have been on the field halfway through the third quarter. I think that was his plan coming into this game tonight.
I agree.
Do you think we see Vollmer?
That's all health
related.
That's a health
thing.
Yeah. I mean, is he completely back? Is he in football shape? Is he?
He's been practicing. He dressed tonight.
Right. If he's taking the right steps, maybe. But, you know, I find it interesting that it's been like wire-to-wire Cannon and Solder for the last two games. I mean, they've gotten a ton of reps, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them play some more again.
That was odd. They must be saying, we need to get these
need
guys
reps.
As many reps
right.
as they can get because they're not playing up to par.
That's why I wouldn't be surprised if you saw them in the next game.
Maybe it's a confidence thing, too. You know, he wants those guys out there so that, you know, they got to keep doing it, and now at least they have a quarter or so – you know, albeit against backups that they had more success in, something that they can build on.
Going back to the first team offense here for a moment, it's the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perullo and Andy Hart here inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
As well as the pterodactyl that's flying around. Have you named that thing?
What? Oh, that big fly or whatever
it's
it is? So that was here pregame, too, and I was freaking out. I have not noticed it here.
Somebody better clean the studio.
We saw Rob Gronkowski, though, get a touchdown on the last drive for that Patriots first-team offense and before Brady was taken out of the game. Does he look fully healthy to you guys?
I wasn't as worried about it. I know some of you guys were watching, and he's limping. I think he's a guy that when he's not running, he always looks like he lumbers a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not really concerned. You know, his helmet popped off, and I know he didn't spike it, and people wonder, is something wrong with it? I think he's fine.
I'm sort of in the middle. I don't have much concern, but I don't think he looks quite right. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Way to be on the fence, fatty. You just broke it.
Let's work our way through.
That's
a few
just
other,
mean.
Let's work our way through a few other points then. If you guys aren't overly concerned about Rob Gronkowski, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
I'm concerned about one thing.
What?
Nate Solder.
How about some of these other rookies, though? Like, you mentioned Chandler Jones got his first sack. We've already talked about Ebner or Eber. What'd you think of Hightower in this one tonight? Because for me, I thought him and all three of those linebackers, when they were out there, I thought they played pretty good football.
Yeah, I mean, I liked some of the stuff I saw from them. I thought Spikes was really impressive tonight, especially early against the run. I thought he had made a lot of good reads and filled really well. Hightower was active again. Made a really nice play on a punt, a punt coverage play. Listen, I think those three guys are going to get better. The key remains the same. You know, we keep Brandon Spikes on the field. I think you have a chance to have Mayo and Hightower do some different things on the two outside spots. But you got to keep Spikes healthy.
You also got to – that opening drive was a concern. for everybody. The defense, that was the defense of last year where the other team was running, then they're throwing, and you see the completion to Jackson behind McCourty, but in front of the safety where he's kind of 5 yards on either side of him. That drive was bad.
It was bad. It also was, you know, and they never showed a replay, so I didn't really get a chance to see exactly what happened, but the first play they stuffed for like a yard, and Mayo got called for a face mask, which sort of kick-started things. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, listen, that was the reason the whole drive happened. There was 8 plays after that that were all successful for Tampa. So I'm not simply saying that it was a penalty-aided drive. But at the same time, if it's 2nd and 9 from your own 20, you know, maybe you don't get that drive started quite as smoothly as they did.
If your aunt had...
She'd be my uncle.
Right.
Karim writes
it. Happened. You got to be able to overcome those things.
Believe in it. And the Patriots, every scoring drive they've had this summer has been penalty-aided.
Right.
Including the first one here, right?
Right.
First one tonight. Karim writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Guys, what are your thoughts on the starting secondary? Do you think they perform well despite injuries? And do you think Arrington and Gregory will be fine for Wednesday?
The health is becoming a concern. You're down a chung. Gregory looks like, well, I don't know about for Wednesday. You probably won't see him on Wednesday if he's dealing with anything. But he looked like it was just a minor thing. But they don't have enough depth to deal with a lot of injuries here. I'm a little concerned, but you know the flip side of that is Ebner has now gotten a ton of snaps. You feel a little better about him, and I still am amazed by how much he's played. I mean, you have a guy James Ahedibo who started, I don't know, 12 games for this team or something last year, and I don't even know if he played on defense. If so, it was late. It was not when Ebner was playing early.
Very very little run as a safety.
I find that amazing, and I don't know if that's just. They think Ebner can be something and they think he needs a lot of reps, or they've liked what they've seen so much that he's just better. I mean, he's looked fine to me. You know, I tweeted about it a few different times. His tackling ability shows that, you know, when you come from the rugby field, he's a wrap-up form tackler. When he makes tackles, they're tackles. He's not looking to make a big hit all the time. I like what I'm seeing from him, but it's concerning the depth at safety because I thought the biggest change in the secondary was going to be stability at safety. You bring in Gregory, you bring in Chung. Hopefully you have two guys that start most games together.
Yeah.
Well, they as of tonight, they were both injured.
All right, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, thanks for joining us here on the postgame show. See you guys.
Kicking us out,
I guess. You guys on Wednesday here for the pregame show. We'll wrap up the preseason. Maybe
the host with the most.
Maybe get ready for a little regular season look ahead here. Thanks for taking some time.
In week two, when you come back after
yeah.
you blow
well, that's
the
true. Oh, that is true. I won't be here for week one. That is very true. But thanks for stopping by, guys.
So you're like one of those guys who like had a DUI in the offseason. You have a one game suspension for the opener.
I got the
we'll
Kenny
be here week two.
I got me and Kenny Britt are
right.
going to sit
you
out
just
week
take
one.
Take the opener off.
Right, and then I'll be back for week two.
See ya.
You can get in touch. Here 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. A lot of concern from you guys, also the PFW guys here about the offensive line. You'll hear from the Patriots head coach his thoughts on the offensive line next here on the Sun Life Patriots post game show on patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard cash rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Adam Jones here, Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. It's the second and final hour of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. Thought it was a mixed bag out of the Patriots tonight. And specifically for that defense, and I think Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, when they were just in here moments ago, hit the nail on the head. That first drive is frustrating, but at the same time, I think the run defense did all right by and large tonight. You know, outside of a 19-yard run by Doug Martin. A lot of yards in general, but some of it was late. And who cares when you're talking about second and third stringers? I thought in general, first team defense did pretty good. Same thing against the pass after the opening drive. Like Devin McCourty gave up a few passes to Vincent Jackson on the opening drive, and I just want to single him out. Because that first one, that 20-yard pass to Jackson, was between McCourty and Gregory. But they struggled on that opening drive. So a mixed bag defensively. Offensively, honestly, until Mallett got in there at the end and showed some flashes, it was a bad night for the Patriots offensively. So to call it a mixed bag isn't fair. Offensively. O-line struggled again. Offense struggled in general. 10 drives tonight, and they only get 14 points. 3 3 and outs, a 4 and out, and a pick. That's what your first team offense did tonight. Now, I expect them to be fine. I do. come the regular season. I think most Patriots fans do, but it's a continuation of that narrative, especially with the offensive line. We'll take your thoughts, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Also coming up here momentarily, we'll go to the podium. You hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, as well as Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. I want to check some of the emails, though. It's where Dylan writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, serious questions about the O-line right now. I know Vollmer was still out, but you got to protect Brady if you're going to go anywhere this year. Did it seem like he held on to the ball too long sometimes? And we also need to see improvement with Vollmer on Brady holding on to the ball for too long. Kevin Collins, refresh my memory here. Greg Bedard had a tweet that you read to me while we were watching the game in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I think it was on the strip sack to Brady.
Yeah.
When Cannon and Larson couldn't block whomever it was who got in on Brady. Here.
Some jag.
Bennett, whoever that is, Michael Bennett, got in on Brady. What did Bedard tweet at the time?
He tweeted that Brady held the ball for 4.06
seconds.
Which is mallet-esque.
And look, it was apparent when you're watching Brady back there, he's holding the ball for a long time. I don't know. That might be a bit of a chicken and an egg thing, to be honest. Like, if they were protecting him, maybe he wouldn't be quite so hesitant or whatever it is. In general, I think Brady does a good job getting the ball out. I do. So that's not something I would be overly concerned about. But tonight, it seemed like an issue. I agree.
He also slid out of the pocket on that play. Mm-hmm. And when the quarterback slides out of that pocket, you know, half the linemen have their back to the quarterback and they don't know where he is now.
So and the next pick, the next pick or next play rather was an interception. It was terrible. He locked on to Gronkowski. He had plenty of time on that one. That was on a third down.
That was third and long, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. He had plenty of time, locked on to Gronkowski. Rondae Barber tipped it and Barron returned it for a touchdown. He mentioned Vollmer. We've said our piece on him. Wouldn't expect to see him in the preseason. I would imagine they go easy on him now. Maybe a drive or two, but I wouldn't expect to see him on Wednesday against the Giants. Dylan also writes in, other notes, thought Ridley was very good. Demp showed some speed. Mallett looked good tonight. And Marquise Cole seemed to have some tight coverage on receivers. Didn't notice. Did Dennard play? He did. Alphonso Dennard played, I don't know, the last, I want to say 3-4 drives, something like that. Good chunk of the fourth quarter. Let's put it that way. He was out onto the field. So really, the first action we've seen out of him. I agree on Ridley, Demps, Mallett. Marquise Cole is one I didn't mention. I know Andy got to him, and he was in my notes a couple of different times. Now, I think it was good and bad, because he's working in the slot. He made a couple of plays on either sideline in this one where he broke up a pass, but on both of them, he could have had an interception. So I do sort of go back and forth on that one. It's like, yeah, he's making the breakup, but could he have done more? Could he have had a pick? In general, Marquise Cole, I think, is making a case at least to be on this roster. Not saying he's a lock, not saying he's going to be on it or anything like that, but I do think he's making a case, and tonight was certainly the best we've seen him play. Melvin writes into Web Radio, Patriots.com. Forgot to mention, Marquise Cole playing nickelback. Where was Razai Dowling, and is Cole making a name for himself? I think Cole's helping his case, as I just said. To answer your question, where was Razai Dowling? He was out there. It was Arrington who left the game with a back injury, which honestly, I'm watching the game upstairs. That was one that escaped my notes. Like, I was going through, and I guess I thought that he just got taken out of the game. I guess I thought the Patriots just took him out. I didn't see that on the TV cameras that he was being worked on, but reading some of the tweets and some blog entries here in the breaks, Kyle Arrington leaves the game with a back injury. So Razai Dowling slid down outside. And we saw a little bit of Razai Dowling on that opening drive. The third completion to Vincent Jackson, that little 10-yard completion, that one was on Dowling. First two were on McCourty. So Dowling was out there. And I thought, in general, he didn't hurt himself tonight. Outside of the first drive, I thought the Patriots' first-team defense, I'd agree with Paul Perillo on this, I thought they were pretty good. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We've talked an awful lot about the Patriots and their struggles tonight. They fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-28 in their third preseason game. Let's head to the postseason, or the podium rather, and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
And what you might do.
We're going to do the best thing we can to help our football team get better, just like we always would. So we'll make the same decision-making process we always follow. Do whatever we can to get better.
Bill, it seemed like Tom took a lot of shots tonight. Is it tough to
walk? We didn't do anything offensively except lose yardage and turn the ball over. So, yeah, it was a tough to watch any of what we did offensively. There wasn't anything. Throw them the ball, can't make any yards in a running game. third and long all day. Yeah, it's real hard to watch.
What are your thoughts on Stephen Ridley and his rushing performance?
Some good plays, some not so good.
About 1,500
yards receiving, 77 catches, and now...
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
For a guy who hasn't been around very long, it looked like he was able to do some things even though guys were telling him where to line up and what to do.
Yeah, well, he's got a long way to go.
Bill, you talked about Ryan Mallett's performance this season.
I thought he did a good job of the opportunities he had. You know, it was a good throw he made on fourth and one on the comeback. He made some other good throws on the last two drives. So, I mean, the game was out of hand at that point, but he did what he could do when he had the opportunity for it.
Where do you see that competition between him and Ryan? Is that still to be decided, or has he made a move?
Yeah, we haven't made any decisions.
Are you surprised at the lack of maybe cohesion and protection up front coming into this game?
Well, we just didn't. I don't think we did anything very well offensively. So, yeah, I was surprised that we couldn't do anything.
Defensively, what do you think? I guess pretty good against the run.
We didn't really make any game-changing plays. No turnovers. Didn't put them in long yardage very often. They did what they wanted to do. Scored 30 points. I mean, I think that's anything good.
Cole show up to you at all with some extended playing time on special teams? Couple pass breakups.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were some good things and some. We'll look at the film.
So coming out of this game, do you see that Tom needs to play quarter, two quarters in the next game?
Yeah, don't worry about next week. Next week, right now, we just got done playing this game.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium following his team's 30-28 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Didn't sound overly pleased with his performance.
And for the record, he normally says, like, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Or thank you or whatever. He just sort of meandered off after that last question.
Didn't look overly pleased. And can't say I blame him. It doesn't sound like a lot of Patriots fans are overly pleased with the performance. So, look, I don't think the head coach would be any different in this scenario. Did think there were a few things that stood out. And, you know, one is something we touched on a bit with Andy and Paul, like no decisions have been made with the backup quarterback. I believe him. I believe no decisions have been made at this point, right? But I don't know if Mallett goes out and plays well again in the third preseason game or fourth preseason game, rather, against the Giants. And if Hoyer comes out and is garbage, you know, then I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Mallett as your backup quarterback.
Yeah, I was at the game.
So that's sort of how I look at things, right? I think the fourth preseason game, and maybe Hoyer deserves to go out there first. Maybe he deserves to be the first one who plays. But that's sort of how I look at things. If Mallett outplays him again, then I think that second spot should be up for grabs. Maybe that's not how the Patriots look at it. Maybe they know what Brian Hoyer brings to the table, and they wanted to see more of what Ryan Mallett brings to the table. And that's why he's had the extended run. Played first last week, started the game over Brian Hoyer, and was the only backup quarterback to play tonight. Maybe that's why they're doing it. They feel like they know what they have in Hoyer. But I think that third preseason game, fourth preseason game against the Giants should be a cameo to find out who Tom Brady's backup is. Now, I also thought the Ridley answer from Belichick was interesting. And maybe it's just because he wanted to do the typical, well, I haven't gone out there, I haven't gotten to see all the tape, and I can't make a decision, based on seeing it from the sideline. Thought there was some good, some bad. But to me, it just seemed like Ridley was so clearly good in that game. Like, so clearly good that I'm surprised that Belichick would hold off on the praise for Stephen Ridley. So that one jumped out to me a bit. And I wonder if some of it is him being upset with Ridley on, I don't know, the fourth down play where he couldn't pick it up. Or maybe some of Ridley's Well, there, pass protection.
Well, there was also some instances where, you know, like you said, we were watching the game upstairs, and Paul and Andy specifically pointed out he needs to get outside on that play, and, you know, there's more yardage to be gained.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. You're looking at it, 16 carries for almost 90 yards and a touchdown. Like, for me, I thought he ran well. So, like I said, there are plays that stand out in my mind. Fourth play, he gets stuffed up. I'm not saying that's all him. Some of that's on the offensive line, and actually, really, the players that stuck out to me that I jotted down, it was Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Catani, who were the guys who were leading for him on that fourth down. And, you know, he didn't break out and make a play there. Maybe that's on him. Maybe that's on the blocking. The other is some of the blitz pickup and some of the pass protection for Stephen Ridley. And maybe that's where Belichick, you know, sat a little crossed with Stephen Ridley tonight. And that's the only thing I can come up with, because I thought when he was running and when he was out there, I thought he ran pretty well. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nigel writes in from Sydney, Australia. Adam, entertaining game, rather, with action right up until the end. What was your play of the game for the offense and the defense? Good question. You know, for me, going through some of the plays in my head here, you know, I thought offensively some of the plays that stood out. I think the Gronkowski play was a nice play for the Patriots, and the Hernandez throw before that, if you remember that, it was a 24-yard completion up the right sideline, I thought was a nice play. Honestly, a couple of the other plays that stand out, the Mallett touchdown to Holly, thought was a nice play. I thought there were a couple of nice runs, the Ridley 29-yarder and the Demps 29-yarder. You know, so, I don't know, the best play, just because it kept the Patriots in the game and because it's promising out of a player, I'd probably go with the Mallett touchdown to Holly. But I think there were some nice offensive plays, but nothing that stood out. Head and shoulders above everything else, at least not for me. Defensively, I don't know. Maybe you go with the Chandler Jones sack, his first professional sack in a preseason game here. But remember, we talked awfully glowingly about him these last couple of preseason games, you know. Preseason game number one had a couple of holding penalties and a couple of pressures, had another pressure last week. Tonight, back-to-back plays, a pressure and a sack. So, I don't know. I think it was some slim pickings there for the Patriots defense, but that's one that I would go to. You know, it was something that stood out to me as a nice play for the Patriots tonight. Also an underrated one, Nate Ebner had a third down stop on the Bucs' second drive. Now, this is after they marched it right down the Patriots' throats. On their opening drive. Second drive, they're able to limit Tampa Bay. Now, the Patriots ultimately turn it over on the next drive, and it goes to 14-0. But I thought Ebner made a nice tackle on third and four. So that's another under-the-radar play for you. But I guess I'll go with the Chandler Jones sack and the Mallett touchdown to Jesse Hawley. We'll go with those two plays. But honestly, nothing major that stood out on either front tonight. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Rodrigo writes in from Atlanta. First of all, I'm already hearing people freaking out about the offense. Relax, writes Rod. It's the preseason. The O-line will get better once Solder steps in for Cannon. I think he means Vollmer stepping in for Cannon on the right side. He goes through his good, his bad, and his ugly. Good. Ridley, in my opinion, locked up the starting job. And I agree with Rod. Throw on not only his performance, but also that Vereen left the game with a foot injury. I think that one's pretty clear. And I didn't think it was close, by the way, going into this one. I think it's Ridley's job to lose, felt that way going in. And really, regardless of whether Vereen ran well or not or left with an injury as he did, I thought it was Ridley's job. He continues, Mallett was impressive. Chandler Jones continues to impact the game. And we just went through what Chandler Jones did. A pressure and a sack on back-to-back plays. His bad, Vereen can't stay on the field. Brady to Lloyd lacked timing. I think that's a good observation from Rod. Like, we've only seen them out there in two games, week one against the Saints, and here tonight against the Bucs, but I'd agree. Like, there was one completion from Brady to Brandon Lloyd, and it was a 12-yarder on the Patriots' third drive, and that was one of their better drives of the game, 12 plays, 81 yards. It resulted in the Ridley one-yard touchdown run. But there were some mix-ups between Brady and Lloyd, and maybe mix-up is the wrong way of putting it, and maybe Rod has a better way of phrasing it. It lacked timing. It just doesn't look polished. And I remember saying similar things about Ocho Cinco last preseason. Now, at least it seems like Lloyd knows where he's supposed to be on the field. But lack timing, precision, whatever you want to call it. That seemed to be lacking. I agree. And Rod's ugly, the offensive line. That's the obvious one. Now, look, I'm not concerned about the offense in general. You know, the offensive line, I'm getting more and more concerned about, but I'm still not there yet. Not freaking out about the O-line, especially until we see it intact as a full-on unit. And I still think Vollmer has gotten better and better as the preseason has progressed. Now, he started out as bad as can be the first game against the Saints, but I do think he's gotten better. But as for the offense in general, we all expect the offense will go out there and score points. That's what I think anyway. Patriots fall to the Tampa Bay Bucks 30-28, dropping their preseason record to 1-2. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We already went to the podium and heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's go back there and hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady.
Yeah, you know, we obviously got off to a slow start, but, you know, we played a little bit better in the second half. But we really need to string it together for four quarters in order to, you know, beat good teams on the road. So certainly have a lot of work to do. You know, an important week coming up this week, and we'll try to get better.
Is it important for you to try and get out there and play? You're going to lobby for that in the final preseason game against the Giants?
You know, whatever coach decides, you know, that's his decision. So, he's the one that makes all the decisions. So, just listen to what he has to say, and if he says play, we're going to play.
Do you have confidence in your offensive line, Tommy, and do you think that they will come together and start to gel?
I sure do, yeah, of course. I mean, I got confidence in everybody. It's just, you know, a matter of us getting out there and playing together. And, you know, there's too many times where we're one step forward and two steps back. And, you know, it's when you're not in a rhythm offensively, it's hard to produce a lot of points. And, you know, we just really weren't in a great rhythm, obviously, in the first half.
I just feel Steven really.
Yeah, he's been a strong runner since, you know, the day he came in here, and he's continued to do that. You know, when he gets the opportunity, it seems like he's doing a really good job. So that was great to see.
The difference is, Don, that scoring drive in the third didn't look like you guys were pretty well.
Yeah, it was a little bit better. You know, we got off to a good start running the ball, hit a nice play to Aaron up the sideline, got another good run play by Steven, and then a nice, you know, touchdown to Gronk. So it was a good drive. Those are the ones we need. We need to put those together consistently, you know, series after series, quarter after quarter, and that's how, you know, you string together good games.
You talk about rhythm, and you know, you look at the play-by-play, and an 8-yard run on your first possession, and boom, you get around second, two, and third. And then the next one, they had the sack on the second and sixth patch up in the third and 14. You do a couple of negative 1-yard runs. How frustrating is that when you go, okay, here we have our plan, we're going out here, and we're going to execute this. And then it kind of gets scrapped in that next drive.
Yeah, and that's, you know, us all being on the same page and you know, everyone doing their job. So, you know, I think that's important. When you put together a good play, you got to put together another good play on top of that, another good play on top of that. You just, you know, you can't score points unless you do things well consistently, unless you have a big play. And, you know, we didn't have any really big plays tonight. So, you know, big plays make up for a lot of mistakes, you know, on offense. But if you don't make big plays, then you got to kind of drive the ball methodically down the field, and you can't afford errors. You know, if you get errors, you know, you can't, you know, put together scoring drives. So, you know, that's something that we have to continue to focus on, and it's got to be a focus in practice, and certainly our next game against the Giants.
Can you see Jeff Dempse being a part of those big plays?
You know, he got quite a bit of opportunity tonight, and, you know, coach put him in a position to make some plays out there, both in the return game and at running back. And you know, it was pretty amazing to go from what he was training for the last, you know, 6 or 8 months of his life and to come here and put pads on and do the same thing. So it's really a credit to his hard work and his mental toughness.
Tom, did this at all remind you of last year's third preseason game in Detroit? Somewhat similar. It seemed like you took a lot of hits in that game, too.
You know, they're all a little bit different. You know, I just think the point is we have to do things a lot better. And it's every position, it's every player. We all have to do a better job at our job. And if we all individually do that, collectively, we'll be better at it. So, you know, hopefully we can put together a good week and go down to the Giants and play a good game and get us prepared for opening.
That strip sack, can you just take us back to sort of what you remember as to how that play was developing, you know, obviously before you went to the
Yeah, Yeah, it was a just hold on to the ball too long, and Brandon was starting to work away from the coverage, and they just got me as I was throwing the ball.
All the way around.
So, got to try to eliminate those and try to eliminate the ball turnovers certainly kill us, and those aren't very good plays.
This one of those games where tomorrow morning you'll feel it, or is that sort of like every game? I mean, football's physical game.
Yeah, it's physical sport, and your body calluses up over the course of the preseason, and that's why you train all off season to be able to take, it's a physical sport, and you get hit, and you got to wake up and get back at it the next day. Thanks, guys.
All right, Tom.
Have a good night.
All right.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium following the team's 30-28 preseason loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Brady, it didn't sound like he was a big fan of Mike Reese's question, which is the same question I had. Does this remind you of that Detroit preseason game, week 3 of the preseason last year? It did for me. And look, Brady didn't like the line of questioning and thinks all these games are different, which I understand. But looking back, I saw some similarities as well. Thought that was a fair question. Working our way through some of the emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brian writes in. Adam, didn't see many plays over the middle of the field for Tampa. Perhaps our starting linebacking core has improved the coverage in the middle. I see more outside comeback routes mostly. Also, Mankins did come out early, but I don't know why. Perhaps they just wanted Mankins to get a few snaps and sit him. With Mankins, again, I wouldn't worry. The guy was playing on a torn ACL last year in the Super Bowl, so I think he'll be fine. It's a good point, though, on the plays over the middle. And I wouldn't just talk about the Patriots linebackers in that regard. I also think something to talk about is the way the safeties have been playing. And tonight, theoretically, for a good period of time, you were without your top safety in Pat Chung and your number two safety in Steve Gregory. And I thought the safety play was fine tonight between Ebner and Tavon Wilson, a couple of rookies out there. So I think that's promising. And I think that's something to do with the middle of the field. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Brian writes in. Adam, when Welker comes back and McDaniels opens up the playbook, as well as Mankins starting full-time, hopefully with Vollmer as well, I think we can get by with the O-line we'll have just fine. We'll probably put up about 30 points a game and make it to the postseason. Now, quickly, it's a great point by Brian. No Welker tonight. Would things be different if Brady had more of a security blanket? It's a fair question. He also writes in, remember, 2010, we didn't do very well versus the Rams, and our O-line was very porous. And overall, a bad offensive performance against the Lions in last year's third preseason game. We made it to the Super Bowl. We'll be fine this year. I will say, in each of those games, the Rams and the Lions, and I remember the Rams won well. I was on radio that night watching the game. We were on remote at a bar watching the game. And that was the first time that questions about the defense really reared its ugly head. We saw third down problems in 2010. Last year, we saw problems against the Lions. Now, as Brian points out, Patriots were still able to overcome it and get to the Super Bowl. But I think there were defensive problems specifically in the secondary all year last year. Hopefully this one against Tampa isn't the one where we look back and say, boy, we could see those offensive line struggles coming week 3 of the preseason. A few more emails here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Brian, I like the preseason game personally. The front 7 looked strong against the run and seemed to get some good pressure. After the Bucs' first drive, the defense actually did a good job getting 3 and outs while the offense was going 3 and out. It's a good point. After the first drive, the Patriots D was very good. Now, they didn't have a 3 and out by my tally until the 5th drive of the first half, but they were forcing punts, and I understand the overall point. I think the defense settled down. One more email here before we wrap things up on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. It's where Jonathan writes in, lots to talk about which players were up and which were down. I want to know which coaches will receive the wrath of Bill Belichick and which coaches will get a pass after the game, if any. And that's Jonathan in Florida writing it. It's a good question. I think the easy guy to go to is Dante Scarnecchia that would feel the wrath of Bill Belichick, but I just don't think that's the case. I don't think that Belichick's going to rip into him, and I don't think he has to. I don't think Scarnecchia needs to be ripped into to understand what's going on with the defense. I would be curious, and just to single him out, I know we were talking about him a little bit before the game. Ivan Fears, the running backs on their blitz pickup, I wonder if that's an area, especially with the way Belichick talked about Ridley after the game, and maybe I'm reading too much into that, but with the way he was talking about it, maybe Ridley's one, or Coach Fears, rather, is one who Belichick may say, hey, we need to get these guys up to speed so that Brady doesn't get his block knocked off. If the offensive line can't protect in that last line of defense, especially without Kevin Faulk here anymore, those guys need to know how to pick up the blitz. And my sense is that's part of the reason why Bill Belichick was frustrated, or sounded frustrated anyway, with Stephen Ridley's performance tonight, because I thought he was no-brainer, the best Patriots offensive player in the game tonight. Patriots, however, fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-28, drops their preseason record to 1-2. Wouldn't read too much into the result, but more of the same from the offensive line and the first team offense in general. And guess what? Probably not going to see a lot of them on Wednesday. So this may be our last extended look at the Patriots first team offense until they open their season against the Tennessee Titans. I will talk to you on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo on Wednesday leading up to Patriots Giants. And of course, I'll stick around for the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll take all your thoughts there on Wednesday night here on Patriots.com.
4:45 on Wednesday.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.